week.
Good morning, and welcome to New Beginning Radio with your host and co-host, Colleen Sanders, and my co-host here, Mr. Sheldon Gooch. We would like to welcome you to the New Beginning Radio Show that will start every Monday morning at 7 to 8. So if you're having a hard time and not knowing what to do on your way to work, please tune in to us at 7 o'clock to 8. Welcome, Mr. Sheldon Gooch.
Good morning, everyone, and good morning to you, Ms. Colleen Sanders. Just glad to be here with you. So today we are very excited about this being our first show and our first broadcast, and we think it's important. You think it's important that we introduce ourselves and tell a little bit about ourselves?
Absolutely. I'm very excited to be here. I'm very excited for this opportunity to be able to tell not only my story and your story, but different stories about individuals that have overcome trials and tribulations. Because this time and age, we need to know how to get out of a rut into a successful place in our life so we can better serve our community, better serve our family, but most of all, better serve God.
Oh, wow. That's a real good one. And, you know, just to go back to what you said about sharing stories, you know, the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so I'm excited about hearing your testimony, but you mentioned the stories of so many other people that we're going to have the privilege of sharing on this broadcast. And like you said, stories of victory and triumph over tragedy. And so I'm excited to be able to do that with you.
Absolutely. So, Mr. Gooch, let's just introduce you. Tell me a little bit about you, the audience, a little bit about you, where you came from, and how did you go through some of the difficult times in your life to come out successfully, and also the way that you serve God. Mm. I know that is so important in your life. So, you know, we all have a story regardless of who we is or how small we are. We all have a story that can be a benefit to someone else. So I'm so excited about everyone that is tuning in, listening to the things that you've gone through in your life and how you came through those things and how you have been a blessing to many other people. Tell me a little bit about you.
Wow. I tell you what, you said some powerful things, and I'm sitting here wondering, is she talking about me? but thank you for what you said. And of course, I give God all the glory. Yeah, we did go through some pretty tough times growing up in Detroit, where I was born and raised, even though I came up in the church, and came up in a home where we were taught the Bible every single day. I had a streak of rebellion that took me out in the streets and ended up, you know, dropping out of school at 14 years old, left the church, left home. And I lived in the streets of Detroit, and you know, it was rough out there. It's rough today, but it was rough back then. And because of the drugs that were so prevalent at that time, the main drug of choice back then was heroin, and I got swept away with that and ended up getting into a lot of trouble. Ended up going to prison as a result of being under the influence of drugs and alcohol and committing crimes, mainly to be accepted by my peers. Just to back up a little bit, I had an issue that is very common in our society today, and that is an absentee father. I didn't have a dad in the picture, never saw him, never heard his voice. I don't have no idea how he even ever looked. But you know, I blamed him for a lot of the problems that I went through, until I got to an age where, and in spiritual maturity, where I began to say, you know, it's not my dad's fault. It was me. And I'm accountable for my own actions. But yeah, I ended up with a life sentence plus 30 years, plus 30 more years. Miss Sanders, I just wasn't the kind of person you'd want to be around.
My. Tell me about how do you get a life plus 30 plus 30? I mean, you know, I can't comprehend that. I understand life, but life plus 30 plus 30? I thought after life, you're gone. So tell me about 30 plus 30.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you're so right. That's the same question I had as I stood before the judge and he said, young man, you're going to do life and then you're going to do 30 and then you're going to do 30 more. I just, man, what are they going to keep my corpse in prison 60 years past the rest of my life? And I didn't know how you did. Anyone could do life plus 30 plus 30. But what that means is that I had three consecutive sentences to be served in the order that they were received. And there was a minimum of 10 that had to be done on each one of those sentences before I could be considered for any kind of early release. But God got a, you know, God had another idea. But I was a rough kid. I was a rough cat and had 12 cases. I want to go into all of what they were, but I got convicted for several counts of armed robbery and ended up in a Mississippi prison in the Delta, the flatland of the Delta, where it was 115 degrees with the index.
So tell me about the change. It had to be a change that happened in your life just to be able to stand there and hear the judge say life plus 30 plus 30. Can you tell me what it was like, that drive from the courthouse to the prison? What was that like? What went through your mind? What were you thinking about at that time?
You know, I remember thinking that I had really goofed this time. You know, I've made a bunch of bad decisions in my life, and I paid some consequences. My mother used to say, sin is a thrill until you get the bill. And so I saw that. But when I was on my way to the Delta, Mississippi, with all of that time, I said, man, this, all hope is gone. I mean, life, it's over. And I was bitter and angry and I was mad at the world and I blamed everybody else for my problem. But for me, it felt like life was just over and, I was devastated. Sure was.
So during that time, sitting there and listening to the doors shut, what was your first thought that next day after you realized I am in jail? I have gotten life plus 30 plus 30. What was that thought process like that next day?
You know, funny thing, the next day it still hadn't settled in. It was just like there were just words. But it hit me as I began to, you know, the weeks went by and the months went by and then the year started ticking by. And I thought, man, I mean, that's when it really registered that I am here for life and I'm not going anywhere. It was devastating. And I just knew something had to change.
You know, you go in there being angry and frustrated, it had to be. In order for you to constantly get into trouble, one right after the other, one incident right after the other. So being in prison, being locked down, what made you different? Because you had to be different in order to be here today. So what, tell me about the transformation of being a bully, but being a guy that nobody wanted to mess with in prison, going from there to being the humble and kind person that you are now. There had to be something happen between that process. What was that?
You're going to make me, okay, I get it. You're going to make me testify.
Testify. Come, brother.
Well, I just, you know, I got tired of being who I was. And I saw that what I was doing and who I was not working. And there was a chaplain that was in the prison, a lady named Wendy Hatcher, who began to minister to me and tell me, she would say things that I had never really heard before, like, you know, you're a winner and a champion and God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And at first I just rejected it. I just said, life plus 60 years. I already know the plan, but she kept on just dripping on me. And ministering to me, and she just saw in me what I could not see in myself. She invited me to a conference where a lot of Christians came into the prison, and they were just lifting up Jesus. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men, including old Sheldon Gooch, unto me. And that's exactly what happened. And I gave my life to Christ at a lay witness conference that was held inside the prison. And I tell you what, I found freedom from the slavery and bondage of sin, but also freedom from the behavior that I was locked into when I gave my life to Christ.
Talk to me a little bit about, because I read your book, talk to me a little bit about going back when you were caught up in the snow, face down, knowing that was going to be the last day that you was here on earth. Tell me a little bit about that day. What happened that day before you actually gotten free and started to call out the name of Jesus? So I know you had to call his name because he's the only one that could save you. So tell me about that.
Well, that's, yes, ma'am. That was really, that's how the book starts off, with me laying face down in 2 feet of snow in the middle of nowhere out in the outskirts of Southwest Detroit, Michigan, where I was working for a dope man and I tried to beat him out of $25,000. And when he found out that it was me and what I was doing, he had two other guys to tie me up, bind me up. They beat me with a sawed-off shotgun and had me bleeding everywhere. And then they took me out into the rural outskirts of Detroit, and they were getting ready to execute me and another guy. We had seen him do it before. We had been around that activity. And so we just knew that it was our time. And I just began to scream the name of Jesus. And when I think back on it now, you know, Mama trained us that there was power in the name of Jesus, that demons trembled and at the sound of the name, and how deliverance can come at the very sound of the name of Jesus. But at that time, I wasn't really thinking about the lessons that she taught me. I was really trying to make a deal. I just wanted to be saved. If I was going to be leaving the earth, certainly I would like my life saved, but I was just thinking, I want to go to heaven if I got to leave. And he pulled the tape off my face and off my mouth. And he said, "What did you say?" And I really began to articulate the name of Jesus. Yeah, mm-hmm. He just removed the sock out of my mouth and removed the tape off my face. And now I could really say the name. And what happened was they packed up and left while I was still screaming. It was like, you know, what happened? It doesn't supposed to end like this. This is not the customary ending that I was used to seeing and experiencing. So, you know, the Lord saved me as I called on his name that night.
You know, while you're talking about that, I think about one of my favorite, well, the favorite for me back in the days is John 14:14 says, "Ask anything in my name and it shall be done." So I am listening to you and knowing how you call on the name of Jesus. You know, he says, "Ask anything in my name." So you was definitely asking in his name and he showed up.
He showed up.
You know, that's a blessing, you know, by itself, to be able to be in ourselves, but yet and still God never leaves us. You know, no matter what happens, we leave him, but he never ever will he leave us, nor would he forsaken us. So I'm so excited to have you as my co-star here. Very excited about it, because we have some, you know, a lot of stories, a lot of unique things that we will be talking about on the radio station. And we just want to be able to be a blessing here, a place for you to come,
Amen.
A place for you to talk about what have happened to you in your life. And the other thing is, we don't want you to be ashamed. Because if God bring you out of something, you do not need another human being to validate what God has already done for you. You know, and we see this all the time, where one person won't tell their story because I don't want somebody to be upset. But understanding that God has purposed you for that story. So you can go and tell that to someone else so they can get healed from whatever it is that they're going through, and he can always get the glory. Amen. So I am excited about what we're doing. I'm excited about where we're going and all the wonderful things that's going to happen. For all of you that really don't know Mr. Gooch, you should. He has a book out. It's called I Am Free. And I would suggest that each and every one of you go and get this book because it is so important. I read this book and I'm like, I thank God that I know him now and did not know him then. Because I don't know my brother, but we're just so grateful that, for the things that we're going to do here on the radio station as we move forward in some other things. And we welcome people, whoever have their story to be a part of the broadcast. Not Amen. Only that, we welcome sponsors to come out and say, hey, I understand what you're doing. I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of the stories that you all are telling because, you know, we have so many people that's in the graveyard with a dream, but never had an opportunity to tell their stories.
Amen.
People live and die and never find the peace that they need before they die. And we're just opening up the airways here and giving anybody that wants to tell a story and talk about how great God has been to them so we can get this moving and get lives changed,
Amen.
You know, so we can move into another direction. So again, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen. Well, thanks for the opportunity. You know, like you said, everyone has a story. And the story is for God's glory. It's our story, but it's for God's glory. And you have a story, that is really your story is sweeping the nation and actually going into other countries right now. You have a powerful story. And I'll just have to say, because people can only hear us, they can't see us. But you definitely don't look like what you've been through.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, a very beautiful lady inside and out. But her story is beautiful as well. So tell us, Miss Sanders, let's go back for a minute to the small town of Caseyville, Mississippi, and tell us what your early experience was like.
Wow. My early experiences was not good. Some of them was, you know, and I don't tell the story for people to say, oh, poor thing. I tell the story because God has been a blessing in my life. That's why I tell the story. So he can get the glory, from that story. My mom had 9 children. And she was a homemaker. You know, and like most people back in those days, mom cooked, she cleaned, she canned, she did everything, you know, even for the neighborhood, cooking pies and all kinds of stuff for Christmas. And we, you know, back in the day, we didn't have, you know, a lot of money. So my mom knew what people in our neighborhood liked. And it's normally our cousins. You know, there was an apple pie to go to Velma and her family. There was, peach carvel that went to my uncle. So she would always make these things, wrap them up in little paper bags back then. And we would have little ribbons that we would tie on them and we would take it to them at Christmas time because we didn't have money. So the only thing we knew was to cook, you know. And as a young girl, I spent a lot of time with my mother cooking, cleaning, doing a lot of different things with her. She taught me how to cook. At 8 years old, I was standing on the stoop trying to make cornbread.
Wow.
And the good thing about it was when it wasn't quite right, she would say, okay, baby, that's good, but we're going to do this again. So we end up doing that again, you know. But my life was a little different. My mom got very ill. My mom died of kidney failure. Many years ago, and I was left with my brothers and sisters. And at the time, my mom was ill a lot and didn't understand what we just assumed that she was going to the doctor and coming home. And there was times when she would come home and she was just so tired. And as I was cooking and preparing for family, she would always tell me little stories all the time. Stay on the road that's less traveled by. Didn't know what the road less traveled by was at that age. I thought it was when somebody come down the road on one side, you cross over to the other. So that's what I did. But as time passed, my mom got more sick, you know, and I remember us sitting on the front porch on a Saturday. That was our time together. And she would comb my hair, you know, and all of a sudden, sometimes she would just get up and run. And I'm like, where are you going? And she would go inside and make peanut butter sandwiches. And she would take water in a jar and put a lid on it. And she would sit it on the table. And I would say, what is that for? And she said, we'll have company in a minute. And I'm like, company? I don't see anybody coming. We was on a long road in Caseyville, Mississippi. Nobody's going to come down this road. And so a few minutes, probably 30 minutes later, tops, here come a man walking down the road. And he would just turn into our house, just like he knew that he belonged there. So what he would do is when my mom saw him coming, she would get up, go get the bag with the peanut butter sandwich in it and the water and give it to him. Wow. And he would say, thank you. And I would ask her, how did you know somebody was coming? And she said, because the Spirit of the Lord told me.
Wow.
And I'm like, what do you mean the Spirit of the Lord? She said, the Lord will talk to you if you listen to him. She said, I want you to listen to him. If you don't believe anything else I tell you, you can always call on the name of God.
Wow.
And I said, really? I said, so, well, how do you know that's when he's coming? She said, it's like a cold drink of water. And I didn't understand what the cold drink of water was. And she said, it's like something rushing you and it's cooling the inside of your stomach. Once it gets to the bottom, it makes you want to move. And I said, okay. I didn't understand what that was. And I remember one day we were sitting on the front porch and I had this urgency to get up and run. So I go to the kitchen. I start fixing food for someone I didn't even know. And she asked me, why are you doing that? And I said, because the Spirit of the Lord tells me that somebody is coming. And so we ended up about an hour later, somebody did come. We gave him the peanut butter sandwiches with a jar of water and he went on about his business. And I remember her looking at me just smiling. And she says, you got to pray. When you pray, God will talk to you. If you listen to him, he will tell you exactly what to do. He won't let any harm come against you if you listen to what he says. Wow. And so it's just so many things that my mom taught me before she passed, and not knowing that she was going to pass. We just think she was going to the hospital. And I remember going to the hospital room and my mom told me, she says, I want you to walk for your brothers and sisters until they're able to walk for themselves. And I said, what does that mean? And that's when she told me she wasn't coming home. She wasn't coming home. But I had to walk for my brothers and sisters until they was able to walk for themselves. And so later on, a couple of days later, my mom passed. And I became the mother to my brothers and sisters. And actually, to this day, I'm the only mother that my brothers and sisters know, you know, and that was a struggle. And during that time, there was a lot of abuse during that time, you know, even to the point that I wanted to commit suicide. And I remember one day I couldn't take the abuse anymore, so I had to get away and I just started running. And I remember going to the top of the gravel pit, asking my mother to forgive me because I can't take this abuse anymore. And I asked God to forgive me because I was told if I commit suicide, I would never go to heaven. So I just wanted peace. I wanted peace. I wanted a way out. And to me, that was the only way to free myself from all the bad things that had happened to me in my life. And I remember going to the top of the gravel pit, turning my back, falling down. And as I was falling, it felt like something was under me. And I kept looking at the clouds. And the clouds was just looked like it was coming closer and closer to me. But when I land on top of a mattress in a gravel pit that someone had thrown away. Didn't know he was going to do me a favor, but he just throwed it away.
God knew, didn't he?
He did. He did. And I remember getting up, going back to the house. And I remember the first day that I actually died. That night, I was in my room, and it felt like cats hidden in the bottom of my feet. And I kept pushing them away. And as I pushed them away, it was no cats in the room. I don't know what it was, but I got up, went to the bathroom, came back. When I got back, I got into bed, covered my head, and I heard a voice that says, "He of little faith." And I took the cover and pulled it over my head. And as I pulled it over my head, I heard the voice again said, John 14:14. And I said, John 14:14. And I looked in a dark room in the corner, and I saw an image of what I thought was God, or I felt that was God. And he was telling me to read John 14:14. And when I read it, it says, "Ask anything in my name and it shall be done." And that was the first time that I had peace for such a long time in my life, because it was so much abuse. And I remember going to the floor, to the bed, kneeling down, and saying, "God, you don't have to remove all of my pain. Just remove enough to let me know that you have not left me." Because I remember what my mother said. She said, "No matter what it is that you are going through, you can call on the name of the Lord, and he will always listen to your prayers." And I just sit there, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And when I woke up on the floor, still kneeling. I got up, and this was the first time that I had gone to the mailbox in 4 years.
Wow.
I stayed in the house for 4 years and never went to the mailbox, because I was afraid. Mm-hmm. I was ashamed. I thought I was ugly. I didn't think nobody would love me, because my family failed me, my church failed me, and the community failed me. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I was nothing. I was all alone, but God.
Wow.
But God.
That is an amazing, powerful, powerful story. And, you know, I've heard you tell it before, and I know you've got deliverance, but I see the emotion on your face now and the tears. And I know when you talk about it, it gets to be emotional for you.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, the pain is still the same, whether it's today or 40 some years ago. Mm-hmm. The pain is still the same. And it's so important that people that are listening to this, that you don't just sit. Just don't just sit and settle for whatever it is that's happened in your life. Your life is always much more than you can ever imagine. And when someone is abusing you mentally, emotionally, physically, sexually, spiritually, it doesn't matter. Your life has value. And you have to sometime go way down. Michael Jordan, he just didn't start shooting the ball in the hoop. He had to go back, drop down, and then come back up. Man. And a lot of times, I always say that you got to die to live. And when you surrender your life to God, you just died, but your life just begun. And we have to understand, don't get so caught up in what he should have did or what they should have did. We need to get caught up in what we need to do for our life and control it. Because we can allow anybody and anything to come in and tell us anything, and we will believe it because it sounds good. But what is it that you want? What is it that you truly need in your life? And that is peace. You know, the one thing that I do know, acknowledgement is power. You know, a lot of times we'll go around and we won't acknowledge. We sweep it under the rug because that's what the old folks used to say. But I tell everybody there's two kind of beings. There's a spiritual being and there's a human being. A lot of times people say in the churches, you know, you don't want to talk about that. You don't want to get the family upset. You don't want them to worry. But it's okay for you to be in pain. That's not the Father that I serve. He wants us to be free, and he wants us to have life, and he wants us to have it more abundantly.
Amen. You know, and sometimes when they say we don't want to talk about it, a lot of times people don't want to get told on.
That's true. That's true. And a lot of times people that don't want to hear it, don't want to listen to it. It's a couple of things that happen. Number one, you don't want to hear it because it's too painful for me. Rather, you've gone through something or you can't deal with what the other party is going through. So it's easier not to say anything, but to just let it ride. That's the reason they say whatever happens in the house stays in the house. And they just constantly rub it, you know, push it on the rug like it's not important. And if that person is hurting, it is important. It is important.
Well, you know, having the privilege of doing some traveling with you as you've told your story and have ministered to others, I have encountered and have noticed that people, older people, have come out of the woodworks and have said, "I'm sorry" to you. And some of them have actually even tried to reconcile and ask for forgiveness because they committed the sin of omission. In other words, they didn't do anything.
Right.
Knowing what you were going through. Mm-hmm.
I've had friends, I've had family to come and say, "I'm so sorry, please forgive me." And the one thing that I say, it's already forgiven. Mm-hmm. It was already forgiven for me when God blessed me to go through it in my right mind. Mm-hmm. You know, I could be a woman on the street. I could be on drugs. I could be in jail. I could be in prison for years with life plus 30 plus 30. Mm. But God graced me. He graced me. You know, and people ask me all the time, why would you want to talk about it? Because it's important that I talk about it. Number one, it's a healing process for me because I was told that you overcome by your testimony. So I'm going to testify how God's grace has delivered me. And not only that, just by talking to telling the story, it is helping other people. I have so many people that email me, Facebook me, all kinds of things, just to say thank you so very much.
You know, I've witnessed that as you have told your story, and I've seen, and some of them will actually be, I think we're going to have them as guests on the show, that have found the courage because of what you have been doing to talk about it and to be able to express and to be able to tell about it. And one thing that a lot of people don't realize and don't really know, as the people who get to meet you now, they meet you through your story. Mm-hmm. But you have done very well with your life in spite of the obstacles, mm-hmm. and the challenges. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's what this program is about, New Beginnings, is, you know, there are people who have gone through some seemingly insurmountable struggles and have been able to overcome them and have extraordinary success, you know, and not likely candidates for the kind of success that they've been able to enjoy. And I'll share my a little bit of success in a little bit, but you have had multiple businesses, not only in the around the country, but outside of the country as well. You've done quite well, and I don't want anybody, you know, to ask you for donations or anything, but you have really done well, and I was looking in your book. Well, one of the things that in chapter 7 of your book, The Legacy of Geneva, The Gift of a Mother's Wisdom, chapter 7 is the title of it says, quote, "You will give away money, houses, cars, jewelry, and clothes. Your cup will run over." A quote by your mom as she was empowering you with her wisdom mm-hmm. before she left. Mm-hmm. And so talk about that, about the cars that, that you've given.
Back to walking to my brothers and sisters before I can walk for myself. You know, I have been, one of the things that I do to survive, I guess you could say that, is that when I'm hurting, instead of going hurting someone else, my thought is always, what can I do for somebody? And the reason, let me just tell you just a little small story. I used to have a bully in school. We're not going to call her name. But what happened is she would beat me up every day at school. And she would beat me up, take my bow rats. At that time, I had long curly hair hanging down my back. My mom would, I would go home and my hair would be all messed up. And my mom would say, "What happened to you?" And I would lie. And I said, "Play ball." Because I didn't want my mom to know that someone had actually beat me up. And so that went on for several days. And I remember coming back, hair all over my head. My mom said, "Where's your bow rats?" And finally I said, "That girl beat me up and took my bow rats." And I said, "I hate her." And my mom said, "What did you say?" I said, "I hate her." And she said, No. I didn't teach you that. Come go with me." And at that time, we were shelling peas. If anybody know what shelling peas are, I was shelling peas. And my mom said, "Bring some of those peas, bring a hoe, and bring that jar of water." So we went out to old hill that calls Clay Dirt Hill, because we used to eat clay dirt.
You used to eat it.
Ate it. It was good. We used to eat clay dirt. And so my mom would say, "Every time that somebody do something bad for you, we're going to pretend that this water is God, and you praying to God, and you see this," and she would hit on the hard clay dirt and say, "That is how hard your heart is." And she would take the water, and she would pour it down, and she would take it, and she would just mix it up, and it got soft. She says, "The more you pray to God when people are hurting you, watch how God show up for you." And he has been showing up for me. And there are times when people do me wrong, I just pray for them. Sometimes I even give them things. But those little lessons that I learned that helped me to survive my whole entire life. And I remember first contract that I got, the Spirit of the Lord said, "Go write down what you're going to do when you get it." So I just started writing down little things that I wanted to do and bless other people. And he said, "Don't deviate from it." So I wouldn't deviate from it. I would go and write down what I was going to do for whoever it was and what I was going to do for them. And I never deviated from it. And as time passed, it got bigger and bigger and bigger and different places that I would go. It was just like I'm walking into all of these different things because I was obedient to his word. Mm-hmm. I've given away cars. I've given away jewelry. I bought my daughter a house a couple of years ago just because God said they're in an apartment. You need to buy a house. The same money that you're using to purchase to rent an apartment, you could be buying a house for your children. So that's what I do. I listen to the Spirit of the Lord. What he tells me to do, that is what I am going to do. My mom used to tell me all the time, "You're going to be walking and sitting with presidents and kings." And I remember traveling to Suriname and sitting at a dining room table with the president of Suriname, or the vice president of Suriname, doing business in another country that I had no idea that I would ever, little old girl from Caseyville, Mississippi, would ever achieve some of the things that I have achieved. And let me just say, all of this wasn't the I. Let me move the I and say that there were people that were surrounded. I surrounded myself with great people that loved and respected who I was. And I didn't get here by myself. T.D. Jakes says all the time, if you see a frog sitting on a post, how do you think, how did he get there? So it's always somebody else that's lifting you to another place in your life. You may not know who they are, may not ever see them again, but there is always God's favorite. And there is always the grace, because where mercy is, grace is always also there. Mm-hmm. So he has spared me mentally, emotionally, to be able to do a lot of great things, not just for myself, but for my family, for my friends, and people that has been associated with me. So I'm grateful. I have no animosity. I have no anger. I have no frustration. I am just happy that I am who God chose me to be.
Mm. And I tell you what, I believe God smiles on you because you have a very generous heart. I'm excited about the shows that follow this one, because what we want to do is go through some of the concepts that helped you to survive. And we'll actually talk about both of our books. But The Legacy of Geneva, The Gift of a Mother's Wisdom, is a book that you can get on Amazon, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk more about the ministry of the Geneva Foundation as well in future broadcasts. You really don't want to miss some of the information that's going to be shared. And I'll just give you a sneak preview. In Mississippi, there are about 1,400 females that are incarcerated. And Ms. Sanders actually did Legacy 1000 this year, where she's putting 1,000 books into the prison system. These books that are filled with the wisdom and encouragement the advice of her deceased mother have been put into a book, and now she's giving these books away to the females. And why did you want to do that, Ms. Sanders?
You know, a lot of times we think being in prison is being behind closed doors, but we live in a place of freedom, but we still in prison. Mm. And you know, as I research, I realize that over 79% of the women incarcerated has been in some type of terrible relationship before they was incarcerated. So one of the things that I want to do is to give them some kind of hope, to know that whatever your life is like, whatever the circumstances that's going on in your life, you need to take a moment, look at your life now, and dream. I mean, really dream and have a vision of where you want to go. Hmm. Because where you are right now is not where you intended to be, you know, and it's all about making a decision. The decision to do something good with your life, or the decision to continue to destroy your life. And one of the things I want to do is to give away the books. Because all of the little nuggets that my mom gave me is actually the things that saved my entire life. I can always refer back to something that my mom said to me that made me want to do something different. I remember the old story that she used to tell me, and we would walk around an old pond that we had. And there was a lot of moss around that pond. And there was always that little flower that would grow. I mean, I never understood how everything else died, all green, but that little flower died. And what she would say to me is, because you're surrounded by the mess, don't make you a part of the mess. Mm-hmm. So because you are where you are, doesn't mean that your life is going to stay there. It's only about a decision. You know, it's only about a decision which way your life would turn. And that is a decision that you have to make. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, die. When I say die, surrender your all When you surrender your all to God, He will give you the peace that you need. He will open up the doors like He did for you, Mr. Gooch. You had no idea that somebody going to come along and see in you what God had already planted in you. Mm-hmm. Nobody would ever think that you were going to be out with life plus 30 plus 30. But God saw something, and He moved on the heart of a governor to say, go free, my son.
Lord, have mercy.
Go free, my son. It is time for Him to do my work.
Amen.
So that's how I see that. No matter where you are in your life, that's not your life. You know, you're just struggling right there. There's a better life. If you just acknowledge the fact, I got something going on, and I need some help. And if you feel like you can't do it, guess what? No matter how small it may be, go do something for somebody else and watch how God show up for you. I am a living witness that works.
Absolutely. You know, you're sitting here and you were talking about, me being incarcerated and then all of a sudden free. And, that's, it's been many, many years, but it's still fresh to me because even though I've been out for 31 years, I'm supposed to still be there right now. But God inspired me with, some tools that hopefully we'll get a chance to share as you're sharing nuggets from your dear mother, Geneva. I'll be sharing some nuggets and some concepts of success that God inspired within me, that allowed me to get out. I mean, I was a dropout at 14, but, He's given me the ability to get, 5 degrees and not that the degrees or anything, but I just had to get my life back on the right course, so He could show me what real success was. And we'll be talking about that. We'll be sharing, your version of success and I'll be sharing my version, and hopefully, people will benefit from what we're doing. The titles, and we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, but I want to run through quickly the titles of your book, or unless you want to do it.
Yeah,
okay. So I'm excited because, I've heard your story, and as you go through your book on these episodes, there's going to be a lot of benefit for the people who are. It's going to be entertaining, but it's going to also be very empowering. Subjects like the one you just talked about, planting seeds today for a better tomorrow, and then two, if there are 10 women in the room, always be the lady. Another one is always be your best, that will be good enough. And these are all quotes from your mom. Stay on the road, let's travel by. Not many are on that road. Here's a good one. All ladies that have a husband are your sisters. They should have the same respect. And then this one here, always know that where there is darkness, I will make sure you have light. Those are the first 6 chapters that's just half of the contents of the book. And I'm looking forward to hearing you break those chapters down and also talking about the 9 forms of abuse.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to that as well. And I'm looking forward also, not just talking about the legacy of Geneva, but talk about, I'm free, a little bit about I'm free. And that is your foundation as well, a 501c3 nonprofit organization that Mr. Gooch has as well. It's a lot of concepts. It's a little bit about talking about people that are in prison. I'm going to let him tell you because, he needs to talk about those things. We have a lot of young men in prison right now, and a lot of times they're only out for 90 days maximum. Before they go back to prison. And you have so many great concepts that an individual person needs to do to change their lives. Mm. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, thank you. And yeah, there are a lot of concepts that God has given me over time, I didn't realize that I was developing a curriculum. I was just doing like you do, just listening to him and writing. And when I was released from prison, I started working with ex-offenders because people just started coming to me and saying, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? Before I knew it, I was coaching and mentoring ex-offenders. And it wasn't anything structured. It wasn't anything that was organized. It was basically customized for the individual. But now we have a full comprehensive curriculum that can take a person who has no clue what they want to do. They're all of a sudden free. For years, 2, 3, 5, 10, 20 years, they've been told when to get up, when to lay down, what to eat, when to watch TV and use the telephone. And now all of a sudden they're free and they're having to make decisions. And there's panic and there's anxiety that goes along with that. Many of them do go right back to prison because they want the security, no pun intended, of having a daily routine. And so what we try to do is we try to inspire people who have been incarcerated, rather than just give them clothes and food and all of that. We try to trigger them on the inside, where they're inspired to get up, to find out what it is they want, set goals, and go about to pursue those goals in their life. And, you know, we just give God all the glory. We have 100% success so far with the people that we've been dealing with over the past 31 years. And so I'm excited about it.
Thank you. You know, we're so excited here at New Beginning Radio. We're just so excited about where we're going, the things that we're going to do. And, you know, and we're excited about you as well. I want to know who you are. I want to know what you're doing. We will have a line that you can probably call in, which will be great as well. So we're just wanting to move forward in such a positive, positive way, because we know that we all are going through something. It may not be as bad as mine or as bad as yours, but one thing that we do know, if we put all of our problems in a bag, I promise you, you would take yours out because you don't want to deal with nobody else's but your own. So let's just sit and talk about where we are, where we're going, the things that we're going to do. We will be having classes. That is something that we will be talking about a little bit later as we move forward in our program. And do know that we will be here every Monday at 7 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock. We're going to start you rolling. You know, they always said Monday mornings is the toughest time, but Monday mornings are always great for me because that's the first day of the week. And God said yes to me that morning. And so that is always good. So as we close out, we only have a few more minutes here. We're going to be closing out. But I do want you all to get involved. This is just not our show. This show is for anyone that is listening. You know, if there is a topic that you want to talk about, we want to talk about that topic.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, right now, one of the biggest things that's going on is mental abuse, sexual abuse, domestic violence. We're coming up on Domestic Violence Month, in a couple of months. And we just want to be able to move in such a positive direction. And I know one of my biggest things is sexual abuse, a rape. And, you know, as you may not know this, but five out of every thousand people, men that abuse a woman, only 5 will end up being prosecuted and go to jail.
Wow.
Which means there are 995 people out there destroying somebody else's life. So we have to figure out what we need to do, not only to help the person that is going through those trials and tribulations of not wanting to deal with it. You know, there are young women that have children by people that have raped them. You know, how do we deal with those things? We need to know how to deal with those things. It is a painful thing because it's all about control. That's all abuse is control. And only thing it says to me is, in order for me to feel better, I got to beat you down. That's all that means. So you have a lot of people out there mentally, emotionally, physically, sexually abusing other people. So what do we do? It's time out for that. We got to stop that. We got to understand that we got to love ourselves first. When we love ourselves first, we won't allow anybody else to hurt us. But if anybody know of anybody that's being abused in any way, please, please tell. Absolutely. Please tell. I don't want another human being to wait another 40 years of their life like I did and not get free. Amen. It's so important. It's so important.
Well, we're so excited about those discussions. We'll also be having discussions, concerning the men and the knuckleheads that actually do the abuse. Next week, we will be talking about, we'll be spending more time talking about the foundation and how you actually walk people through with those, with that 12-week class that you have been doing. And then we'll also talk about the 12, interestingly, both of us have 12-week courses, bring about results. We can talk about the problem, but, we want to also talk about some of the solutions that are out there. And so any closing remarks, Ms. Anne?
I'm just excited to have you as my co-host, and I'm excited about our viewing audience, and now I'm just excited. I'm excited for God's grace and His mercy. And before we end, I would love very much if you give us a prayer as we leave.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and pray, but you said the viewing audience. And
so, audience. Listen, see, I'm thinking in existence here.
I'm saying that's the same thing I'm thinking. That's prophetic, I believe.
That's right. I'm thinking this in existence here.
Absolutely.
So not yet, but yes, it will. It's only a matter of time.
Amen. Well, let's just go ahead and pray as we close out. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for who you are and what you are to all of us. Even to those that are listening to our voices right now, Lord God, you know the struggles. You know what they have gone through, what they're going through, the trials and the tribulations. And Father, there's nothing that can come upon us that you're not aware of and that you don't want us to be free of. And so, Father, we know that your perfect will is that we be in health and prosper, even as our soul prospers. And so right now we claim that for the listener right now. We claim a prosperous day and a healthy, safe day for those who are tuned in to our voices right now. And Father, we just seek to give you glory and honor and praise in all that we do. Thank you for the new beginnings that you have given us, and thank you for the new beginnings that will result as a result of this radio broadcast. And again, we give you all the praise and all the glory. And it's in Jesus' mighty name that we do pray. And I just say amen and amen.
Amen.